When he's done with you, he'll take you home. Take you home. And you're still here. So he's not done with you. Amen? What's he going to do with you today? What's he going to do with you this week? Amen? Turn in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 8. And the scripture reading was from there this morning. Of course, the book of Matthew chapter 1, we have Jesus' genealogy and his birth. Chapter 2, the wise men and Herod. Chapter 3, John the Baptist is introduced. Chapter 4, we have Jesus being tempted. And then he begins his public ministry. And part of that public ministry was chapters 5 to 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And what a sermon. Amen? So now we come to chapter 8. And let's reread this now as our text this morning. Chapter 8, verse 1, when he, speaking of Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And about a week or two later, is that what your Bible says? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. That's what I'll talk about today. Let me ask you about this. I don't want to show a hands, but how many sinned this week? I don't want to see the hands. I know only a couple would go up. I know you people, you're wonderful people. But you're like your pastor. You're sinners. Sinners sin. And God's expectation is not that we become sinless perfection, you know, that we arrive at that. He knows we're sinners, and he knows what we're made of, and he knows what we do. But sin is pretty ugly to God. And somehow in our own minds, we look at sin that others do is horrible. But when it comes to sins we do, I could do better, I suppose. It's not a big deal. We trivialize it. We rationalize it. We tell ourselves in our mind, of course, devil helping us, it's okay. I mean, you didn't kill anybody. You didn't rob a bank. You didn't do some heinous crime. So I guess it's really not as bad as it might be thought of. Well, in this scripture, it speaks about this man having leprosy. And the more you and I understand the connection in the Bible that God makes regarding leprosy and sin, the better we realize what our sin looks like to God and therefore should look like to us. Sin is not okay. I don't care how little you and I may view it in our own lives. This idea of a white lie, where is that? There's no such thing as a white lie. It is a lie. It is a falsehood. It is deception. And it is abhorred of God. So to practice that is wrong. But we think, well, you know, it's a little thing. Maybe today God might help us. Let's read a little bit here about leprosy. I'll read it to you. I've read this before. Should grab our attention. Leprosy. It was the most dreaded disease known to man. It usually started with a little spot on the face around the eyes or nose area. And over a period of years, went from a tiny white spot the size of a pin to a larger spot the size of a pea or a bean. There were three kinds of leprosy, the white, the black, and the red leprosy. It eventually spread over the whole body. By the time it appeared in the skin, it was already into the bones, into the joints, and the marrow of the bones. People could live 30, 40, or even 50 years with it. But those years were filled with excruciating pain. It advanced from one stage to another with slow and certain death. The joints, hands, and feet would lose their muscle and power, and the body eventually would collapse. It was a hideous sight, It was indescribable misery, as it included not only physical pain, but also the emotional pain of separation from family and friends and society. Leprosy. Pretty ugly. Barnes gives this thought about it. The victim is thus doomed to see himself dying piecemeal, assured that no human power can arrest for a moment the silent, steady march of this dreaded disease. Horrible. It was contagious and hereditary, transmitted to the third and fourth generation. It's interesting to note that in the Old Testament, judgment for sin was also transmitted to the third and fourth generation. We'll see the connection that is made, the picture that is given, that God gives us to help us to see sin as it is. So we don't trifle with it. So we don't allow for it. Leprosy was acknowledged to be a means of God's judgment for sin. A few quick examples. Turn, if you in your Bibles, to Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12. Here we have the story of Miriam. And remember, she and her brother Aaron rose up against Moses, their brother, but God's man. And in Numbers chapter 12, notice it says, verse 1, and Miriam and Aaron spake against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. And they said, hath the Lord indeed spoken only by Moses? Hath he not spoken also by us? There's Miriam speaking with Aaron. I mean, who's our brother really think he is? You see, she began to get inflated with jealousy and rebellion over her brother and God. But look what it said there, last part of verse 2. And the Lord heard it. Mark down, God hears what you say and sees what you do and knows what you think. Now the man Moses was meek above all the men of which were upon the face of the earth. And the Lord spake suddenly unto Moses and Aaron and unto Miriam, come out, ye three, into the tabernacle. Let's drop down to verse 7. My servant Moses is not so, who is faithful in all mine house. With him will I speak mouth to mouth. Last part of 8. Wherefore then were ye not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? And the anger of the Lord was kindled against them, and he departed, and the cloud departed from off the tabernacle. And behold, Miriam, Moses' sister, became leprous, white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. Now later, Moses interceded for his sister, and she was cleansed. But God said, it's going to be at least a week. 7 days she was leprous. Why? It was judgment. Judgment for sin. We have another example in 2 Kings chapter 5. If you go there quickly, you may recall the story. Here, Naaman, captain of the host, the king of Syria, he was a great man and a good man, honorable. Give him all kinds of accolades here. And at the end of verse 1, it says, a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. All right. Well, we won't go through the whole story. You may be familiar with it. But Elisha gives him the what to do to be cleansed. And by faith, he would have to do that. And he finally did after much ado. But he gets cleansed. And this man changed. And he wants to show thankfulness to Elisha. And he offered him great riches, stuff, clothing, and money. And, you know, he wasn't for sale. But Elisha's servant, Gehazi, notice with me at verse 20. But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. I will take, you see. For Miriam, it was jealousy and rebellion. For Gehazi, it was greed, sin after sin. And the judgment came upon him. Because when he hides the stuff, shows back up with Elisha, if you'll drop by back down to 25. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went nowhither. I didn't go anywhere. That's like a little kid. Where did you go? Nowhere. What did you do? Nothing. He's standing before Elijah, the man of God. And he said to him, "Went not my heart with thee?" When the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee, he saw the whole thing. God gave it to him. Is it a time to receive money and receive garments and olive yards, vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maidservants? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper as white as snow. Judgment. For his sin agreed. I'll give you one more. Go to 2 Chronicles 26. 2 Chronicles 26. We see here leprosy was used as a judgment for sin. And in 2 Chronicles 26, we have the story of Uzziah. Now, Uzziah was a great man. In fact, he became king of Israel and became king when he was just 16 years old. And the Bible says that he did right in the sight of the Lord. Look at verse 4. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah had did. This was Judah. And in Judah. And he sought the God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding of the visions of God. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. And these next bunch of verses just talk about all that he did. And he was a great man, good man, wonderful. And this is noted and recorded because what happens to him afterwards, it's recorded for your benefit and mine. Don't think that because you've served God 5, 10, 20 years, you've done so good that there's some laxity now in God. And his perspective on sin, he's more allowing for you and I for these little things. He's not. God never changed. God has always hated sin. And here, with this Uzziah, after all that he did that was good, notice verse 16. But when he was strong, God had blessed him, prospered him. His heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Lord his God and went into the temple of the Lord to burn incense upon the altar of incense. And I mean, the priest came out with 80 other priests and they tried to intercept him and whatnot. You can't go in there. You can't go into the house of God, into the tabernacle. And it's for the priest to do that. But he did. He was headstrong. And judgment came on him. Notice verse 20. And as Azariah, the chief priest, and all the priests looked upon him, and behold, he was leprous. Go back to 19. Then Uzziah was wroth and had a censer in his hand to burn incense. And while he was wroth with the priests, the leprosy even rose up in his forehead before the priests in the house of the Lord and beside the incense altar. What are we saying? All these three people, Miriam, jealousy, rebellion, Gehazi, greed, Uzziah, pride. And God brought the worst disease at the time in their lives, leprosy, doomed to death because of sin. So how trifle is it to sin in the eyes of God? Leprosy constituted a person as being polluted, unclean, sinful. Therefore, he was not treated as sick, but as unclean. He was separated from holy things. Leviticus 13 tells us about that leper man. He'd have to live alone. The leper was separated from the congregation. And only the priest could declare him clean and restore him back among the congregation. Not a doctor, not a physician. Because it was viewed by God as sin. It was a symbol of sin, you see. Leprosy. We read about leprosy, how ugly that it is, how destructive that it is in a life. May we see our sin as ugly as leprosy, as destructive in our life. There is no little sin, big sin. They're all destructive, and they all separate us from our God. We see the connection between leprosy and sin. It is symbolic in the Bible. So when Jesus cured this leper from the horrible disease of leprosy, he was demonstrating his power, his ability, and his authority to forgive sins. Hey, you're a sinner. You need Jesus. He is the great physician. Oh, that we would see sin as ugly and destructive as leprosy. Sin is not okay. Sin, no matter how small we may view it, will eventually destroy the sinner. Four quick points regarding this story and leprosy and sin, its connection. Number one, notice in our text again, chapter 8 of Matthew, verse 1, notice in verse 2 the address. He said, and behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt. He came to Jesus, and he came to him with worship and in faith. He said, I know, if you want to, you can heal me. The address. We can assume that this leper must have been within hearing distance of Jesus and realized that he taught as one having authority. Back chapter 7, 29, after the Sermon on the Mount, all those that listened, this was the saying that was there. And as one having authority, this was the assessment of the people. No doubt he had heard. So he addressed his petition to him, to Jesus, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I believe it. He came worshiping. Worship is only to be given to divine power. You remember back in Matthew 2, the wise men, we saw his star in the east, and we have come to worship him, the King of Kings. We learn from this leper not only who to go to for healing and cleansing of sin, but also how to approach him with humility, worship, and submission to his will. Brethren, never get so familiar with God that he becomes your friend or that he becomes equal with you and you have a little chat with him. He is God, Almighty God. He is holy. And he requires that we be holy. And that we'd stay away from sin. We need to address him as God, as Lord of our lives. By the way, no one gets saved without humility and a worshipful attitude, one of faith and repentance. You and I must see ourselves as spiritual lepers when it comes to our sin. I mean, that picture is given to help you and I to see how ugly sin is, that it isn't little in our sight, that we come to God, Lord, in all humility, forgive me. To be sad about it. To be mad about it. Or to be like Jesus. Holy, clean. So God can use us. The saved sinner must acknowledge sin as a leprosy of the soul. It destroys our relationship with God and shuts us out from communion with him. Psalm 66, 18, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Our communion is broken. Well, it's just a little white lie. It was just a little this. No one else. It was just sitting there. It must, no problem with me having it. Oh, you know about so-and-so? A little gossip here. What harm could it do? Just a little bit of gossip. God sees it as ugly and destructive. Destroy a family. Destroy a church. Sin has a way of growing. The devil sees to that. Again, the address or approach to God must be one of great humility and worship. As what was this man? He worshiped, the Bible says. He worshiped him. It's a wonderful thing. His attitude of humility and of faith. I know you can. Nothing pleases God more than faith. Without it, it's impossible to please him. So the address, then is the answer. He says in the first part of 3, I will, be thou clean. It was the will of God on that day to heal this leper. It remains the will of God today to heal men of their sins, to born them into his family, and to grant them eternal life. Aren't you glad about that? I'm glad some 40 years ago it was his will to forgive me of all my sins and to save my soul. He's still in the healing business. He's still in the cleansing business. Friend, it is the Almighty God's will today to say to you, be thou clean. If you're not saved this morning, all you need to do is repent of your sin and in great humility come to God with faith. I believe you can forgive me. I believe you can cleanse me. Please forgive me and save my soul. To save you. He did me. And the vast majority of this room have all experienced that very same thing. And if you've not experienced that, you can experience it today by faith. Humbly come to God by faith. Forgive me, a sinner. I believe, Jesus, you died on that cross, paid the sin debt that I owe. You experienced the hell that I deserve. Forgive me and save me. That's a wonderful thing. He's still healing today. He's still cleansing today. Christians, it's the will of Almighty God today to say to you, be thou clean of your sins. I didn't ask for the hands to go up. But no doubt if I did, would there not be every hand up? Who can say I didn't sin today? This whole week I didn't sin. If you can, I need to spend more time with you. You need to help me. That was his answer then, and that's Jesus' answer again today. Lord, would you forgive me of all my sins? Friend, his answer is yes. So the address, Lord, God, humble in faith, the answer will be thou clean. 2 points left. One, the change. It was instant, and it was his doing. The last part of three. Notice, and immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Immediately. While it may have taken years for this man to get leprosy, Jesus healed him in a moment's time. One moment he was a vile, unclean leper. The next moment he was baby skin pure. Like that. Again, consider leprosy. You know, white, almost powder flaking off your skin, falling apart. Pain. Ostracized from your wife and children, family. In misery until you died. And Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. Spiritually speaking, it's the same thing when you got saved. If you will see the sin in your life, is that bad? Jesus flaked me off, see? And he cleaned me up. Saved my soul. It was immediate. To be forgiven of sins, to be saved, is instantaneous. There's no process. There's no penance to be performed. There's no earning it by merit over time. It is strictly by faith. In Jesus' finished work on the cross of Calvary, for by grace you are saved through faith and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And not of works, lest any man should boast. So simple. But it has to be real. It has to be genuine in a man and woman's heart to be saved. I've said it many times, simple for us, but wasn't simple for Jesus, amen. It was so simple for us. I mean, what did I actually do the day I get saved? I simply exercised my faith. I believed. I was full of conviction. I had all kinds of religion growing up, but here I was, full of conviction. The Spirit of God was, I was heavy, man. I knew I was going to hell. Save me, forgive me. Just like that. Heaven. It's a wonderful thought. So simple. Let me share this with you. Speaks of a conversion to Hinduism. One characteristic that distinguishes Christianity from all other religions of the world is the teaching of salvation by grace through faith, apart from human works. Listen to the headlines from the Grand Rapids Press. The title was, Conversion to Hindu Faith is Tortuous. The article stated, a West German businessman had completed his conversion to the Hindu faith by piercing himself through the cheeks with a quarter-inch thick, four-foot-long steel rod and pulling a chariot for 2 miles by ropes attached to his back and chest by steel hooks. Others walked through 20-foot-long pits of fire, donned with shoes whose soles have all nails, or they hang in the air, spread eagle from hooks embedded in their backs. I'm not converting. Any here today? I don't see that hand. ridiculous. Man's efforts at the devil's bidding, planning of these wicked thoughts in their minds. This is how you get to God. God, devil doesn't mind religion, and there's all kinds of them, as long as they steer you away from Jesus. But it's by faith and faith alone. What a contrast to Christianity. Aren't you glad that true conversion requires a genuine repentant faith in Jesus Christ, and is not accomplished by some type of self-inflicted torture? Yeah, hallelujah. Yeah. I'll tell you why. Because Jesus took the torture. The healing is immediate, and Jesus does it all. We've talked about the address, the answer, the change. Lastly, the charge, because we see this in verse 4, Matthew 8. And Jesus said unto him, seest thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. It was this man's duty to obey the law of God according to Leviticus chapter 14, specifically verse 2, by hastening without delay to the priest and in bringing the proper offering. This miracle happened in Galilee, which was approximately 40 to 50 miles from Jerusalem. Jesus wanted the healed leper to go quickly and directly to the priest, so as to secure the declaration that his healing was from leprosy was genuine. If he had hung around telling others, word could have very well reached the priest before he arrived, affording the priest the opportunity to disclaim Jesus by denying that the healing was authentic and real. Go to the priest. It's the word of God, Old Testament law. If he obeyed Jesus quickly and was restored to social and religious life, the miracle would serve as proof to the people of Jesus' power to heal. So go ye, he said. Our duty today as healed, forgiven, born-again believers is not to run to some priest for verification, but to share and to declare to a lost and dying world that we've been miraculously healed and that they can be healed also. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. Amen? Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, Paul said, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Where to go? You've been healed? You've been healed of leprosy? Spiritually speaking, you have. And so have I. So should we be content with that? Or has not our Savior said, you need to tell someone else too. I can heal the leprosy. And it's immediate. This morning, friend, if you're here and you're not saved, the instruction to you is repent of your sin and trust Christ as your Savior. See how ugly that your sin is before God. And outside of Him, you're headed for hell. And call upon Him. The Bible tells us, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a wonderful truth. That means you. And today, brothers and sisters in Christ, you hear you're saved. We're instructed to repent of any known sins in our life and then to tell others about the Savior. Amen? 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready everywhere to always give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Be ready always to proclaim Jesus, to tell him how you were forgiven, you were cleansed of your leprosy, and that he too, you have leprosy, sin, but you can be cleansed and forgiven too. This is the instruction tomorrow. Whether you're saved or unsaved this morning, what did God say to you today? Heads bowed, eyes closed. As we come to a time we call invitation, when each and every one of us is invited to spend some time with God. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. It's just you and God. What did he say to you today? Friend, if you're not saved, I can tell you what he's saying to you. It's saying, I love you. Jesus saying, I went to the cross and suffered the penalties of your sins for you. And if you will just believe me and come with a sorrowful heart, a humbled heart, a heart of faith, and say, I believe, please forgive me and save me. Friend, you can be saved. And don't look for some special word, some special prayer. It's a transaction of the heart, not that somebody repeats certain words. You tell him, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner before you, Lord. And I believe Jesus took the punishment that I deserve. Please save me. Please forgive me. You'll save your soul. And Christian, you and I, we've been saved, thankful. Sins have been forgiven. And yet over time, sometimes, we can almost put our Christianity on cruise control. And we start making allowances for this, that, and whatever. We don't live that holy life with the expectation that God has of be holy, for I am holy, he said. And when sin, when we fall into it, when we sin, when we do wrong against our God, may we recognize how ugly that it is. This association of sin and leprosy in the Bible is a very...